As we certainly know and understand, Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead and became the literal DNA, Spirit-born Son of God on the day of the whey sheaf offering. We understand that he was perhaps constantly with his disciples for the next 40 days. Or was he? Then on the 40th day, he ascended and is now seated on the throne of God next to his Father and our Father. What happened during those 40 days? How clear is it really to you and to me? When reading the story, trying to put it all together, preparing for the sermon, it became clear that I don't think that it's been very clear at all. And I think there's several people, including self, who have not really focused on this, what happened, the chronology of it, the events that followed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, maybe as closely as it might be a good study to do so. Therefore, I thought it might be helpful for us to go through the chronology and the events following the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, let's begin turning to Acts chapter 1. This is not necessarily the chronology that I'm getting immediately in, but I'm establishing something else first. If you go to Acts chapter 1 in verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his death, after his passion, in a word, just talking, it means his death, by many infallible proofs. He proved it. That's the point that he was making. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And from that, I think some have concluded what it says, being seen of him for 40 days. And so all of these 40 days after his resurrection, after he came back, he goes up, he ascends, he's accepted, he comes back as the wave sheaf, and now he is on earth for the next 40 days that he was with the disciples day in, day out, and he was teaching them and showing them things. We're going to see that's not really what happened. Now, I don't think that's a real problem. Well, in fact, I know it's not a problem, but I think it may clarify some of the things that some of us may have thought. We're going to be doing, I'm going to be telling you a lot of different verses. Sometimes I'm going to just reference the verse, not going to be going there. Some we'll be reading. Then in John chapter 21 in verse 9, not going to go there. This verse tells us Jesus was cooking for the disciples on shore. And then in verse 14, this is in John 21 in verse 14, it says, this was the third time Jesus revealed himself to his disciples. So had he spent all of these 40 days with his disciples? Apparently not. So I want to now get into and deal with some of the details about the chronology and events, the times that our Savior spent, how he showed himself after he was resurrected to eternal spirit life. So what are some of these events? And so let's get into and let's see a chronology. And I think it's going to be helpful to do this. The first account starts on a Sunday morning prior to sunrise while it was yet dark. And that's according to John chapter 20 and verse 1. John 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher and sees the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Now, putting various verses together, it looks like a number of people, probably all women. Now, I've always got a question when I read this, and I go, where were the men? You know, why were they not there? It was this, you know, dressing the body and putting the spices on it. Is this considered back then as women's work? I don't know. I mean, you know, I look back on it, and I go, I know I'm not there. I know I was not there. But I look back on it from our, 2,000 years now and looking back and we go, why would we have been where he was? You know, why would we not have been there? And that's a question that I have. And I don't know. Maybe it's a lot of different reasons. But anyway, But anyway, so these women gathered themselves together, and they went to the tomb with spices to deal with the dead body. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the other Mary, Mary of James, and other women also went. And we're told that in Luke chapter 24 and verse 10. What they found was, as we read this account, was the heavy stone had been moved away from the entrance. And we're actually told that the angels moved it away. Now, I have another question. Have you ever wondered how they thought they were going to get the stone removed? Either they had a great amount of faith, or they didn't know the stone was there, or they thought they could do it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've looked at it and I go, how did they think they were going to do this? It's just a question for thought. I don't have any suggestions. I don't have any idea. But the fact is, it was removed apparently just before they got there. In Matthew 28 and verse 2, it tells us there was a great earthquake when the angel of the Lord rolled the stone away. Now, there's been all kinds of calamic things going on in nature or weather or whatever we would liken all of these things to. On the day that Jesus Christ was crucified, you know, there was the shaking, there was an earthquake, and there was the darkness and all of that. It looked like it was dark, you know, around the time of his death. And all of these things, and the graves opened up, and there were people who came up out of the graves. And now here's just a few days later, from Wednesday, as, you know, on a calendar, on a Wednesday afternoon when those events took place when he died, until the Sunday morning, all of those on Wednesday, and then the next day, Thursday, was first day of unleavened bread, and then it was a weekly Sabbath. Then early Sunday morning, here's another great earthquake, it says, as he rolled it away. This angel then spoke to those visiting the tomb, telling them that Jesus was risen. What an awesome thing to know. What an awesome thing to realize. The angel also reminded them that Jesus had predicted, that Jesus had foretold, that Jesus had told them of his betrayal and his death and his resurrection. And you can see that in Luke 24, verses 6 through 8. And it tells us that. The angel tells them. And then it says, and they remembered. Now, these are the women. I want to make this as a point. Again, I don't know what the significance of this is. But the women were there, and the angel told them, and they remembered. Then in Luke 24, verses 4 and 5, we learn that there were at least two angels at the tomb. The women went to the tomb, found it empty, and the story tells us, and then from there, they ran to tell the other apostles, or to tell the apostles, and it says, and the rest. So there were others gathered together. But listen to this. The men did not believe the words. They didn't believe it. Now, we find this, you know, amazing. What do you mean they didn't believe it? What do you mean? This is what Jesus Christ had been telling them for all of this time. They had walked with him. They had slept in the same area with him. They had eaten with him. They had taken the Passover with them just days before. And he told them what was going to happen. And when the words came back, he is risen, they didn't believe it. Let's go to Luke 24. Luke 24. Verse 10. And Luke 24 and verse 10. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they, meaning the apostles, believed them not. They didn't believe the words, and they didn't believe the words of the women telling them. Then in verse 12, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 12, it tells us that Peter and John took off. They ran to the tomb. It also goes on in the chronology there. It tells us that John outran Peter. John looked inside, yet Peter was the first to go in. And let's go to John's account, John 20. In John 20, verse 5, and he stooping down, and he is John the apostle, and John stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then comes Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulcher and see the linen clothes lie. In other words, he saw them there. After the men left, because they were there and they left, Mary remained at the tomb weeping. Now, when it tells us in the account that Peter and John took off and they ran to the sepulcher, it doesn't tell us that Mary is with them, but Mary is there. We have this in the story flow. We see it. Mary is there. And it says, and she stays. She's, you know, and Mary stays. Now, we know that she didn't remain there because she went with the other women and they told the apostles, and then Peter and John get up and they take off and they run. And now after they leave, Mary is there. So she had to come back with them. Two angels spoke to her. Then Jesus spoke to her. And this is the first encounter. In John 20, begin in verse 10. John 20, let's begin in verse 10. Then the disciples went away again unto their own house. In other words, this is when they left. Verse 11. But Mary stood outside at the sepulcher, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. We can see this picture. He's, you know, this is where he would have been. One is here and one is here. And we see the bed clothing. We see the bed clothing, the burial clothing. Verse 13. And they said unto her, Woman, why weep you? Why are you crying? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Now, I have a question about this as well, because in just a moment, something else is going to happen. And that is, did she know they were angels? She didn't ask them where did they take him. But we should go right on. It's just a question. In verse 14, And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weep you? Whom seek you? Who are you looking for? She, Mary, supposing him, meaning Jesus, to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, if you've taken him from here. She didn't ask the other two. So they ask us, why are you crying? He says, because they've taken him away and we don't know where he is. In essence, what it is. Jesus then speaks to her and says, why are you crying? Supposing he was a gardener. He says, have you taken him away? This is what she asks. If you have taken him, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away. I'll go get him and I'll take him to another place. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. So she recognized him. She did not recognize him until he had spoken her name. He did not allow her to touch him because he had not yet ascended to the Father. It tells us that in verse 17. Mary then took the story of seeing Jesus alive back to the apostles in verse 18. So she goes back. This is the first encounter. This is the first one to see that Jesus that actually spoke to him. They went to the tomb. They saw that he was gone. They understood that he had been risen. They go back to the apostles, the women did, and the men didn't believe her. So Peter and John, they take off and they run and they go in and they see him and they leave. And then here is Mary and she's crying. And Jesus says, Mary. And this is the first encounter. And so she knew And she goes and tells them. Later that day, the same day, Jesus met two of his disciples. One of the disciples is named Cleopas. This is in Luke 24 and verse 18. On the road between Jerusalem and a village called Emmaus. E-M-M-A-U-S. And that's in verse 13. These disciples, and this is an interesting story, we're not going to really read the story as such, as certain parts of it, but the disciples had heard the story about the angels. They had heard the story about the empty tomb from the women, but apparently they were still skeptical. They're heading in a direction out of Jerusalem. Luke chapter 24, verse 24, we begin. They are telling Jesus the story of his resurrection. And I mean, what's so amazing, guys? What's going on? As he catches up with them and they start telling him the story. Dropping in the middle, somewhat in the middle of the story in one sentence in verse 24. And it says, certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. So they knew that the women had been there. They knew that the tomb was empty. These two people, they knew that they came back, that the women told the apostles. They knew at least some of them went to the thing. It says Peter and John. And they knew that they went there, but they didn't find him. Verse 25 is interesting because these are words of Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools, which means deceived, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. In other words, you're not getting it, guys. It's true. It's true. And this is what his reaction is. But as they walked along, Jesus taught them prophecies about himself. I've stated this before. What an incredible Bible study that would have been, you know. Too bad it's not all written down and it's right in the pages of the Bible right here in Luke chapter 24. I don't care how long the chapter 24 would have gone. It would have been fascinating. Yet the fact is, they still did not recognize him until they were about to eat later that day at one of them's house. That's in Luke 24, 30 and 31. Then after this, when they recognized who he was, Jesus disappears. These two disciples immediately return to the group at Jerusalem about a 7 to 8 mile trek. Now, they've already walked the 8 miles, 7 to 8 miles. Now they're walking back the 7 or 8 miles, but this is a different reason. And they went and they told them the Lord is risen. That's in Luke 24, 33 and 34. Now, there are other things that we learn also in this about the chronology. By that time, Jesus had also appeared to Simon Peter. Because in Luke chapter 24 and verse 34, they are making the statement. These are these two disciples. I don't know where they got the information, but they're making the statement. And they say, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. So they knew, apparently, I'm assuming, Jesus told them. How did they know this if Jesus had not told them? Then over in Mark 16, if you'll turn over there, Mark 16, we learned the disciples were still skeptical. Now, by this time, we've already had three personal eyewitnesses. In Mark 16, verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. That's the story of Emmaus. This is just this version. Verse 13, and they went and they, these two disciples, went and told it unto the resident. In other words, all that was waiting, neither believe they them. Three witnesses. Scripture tells us that a matter is established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. They've had three eyewitnesses. They have seen the empty tomb. Many of these people by this time have seen the empty tomb. They know he's not there. Three people have now told them, I saw him. And they still don't believe it. Later, at evening on that same day, this is still that same day, I'm going to call it the Sunday, so we'll understand. Jesus appeared to the group that is gathered together, that have already been told, that didn't believe, three witnesses. So those who saw him finally realized that he was alive. And you can see that in John 20, verses 19 and 20. Thomas, one of the apostles, one of the disciples, was not with the group at that time. And when he was told about it later, refused to believe the report of those witnesses. Now, there's been one witness who was Mary. Then there were the two men from Emmaus, and that made them three. And now Jesus appears to the whole group. How many were there? I don't know, because the way some of the verses state it, it says, to the apostles and the rest. Well, these two men from, you know, who had come back from this little village that he appeared to, they apparently were there when Jesus appeared that evening. They were still there when Jesus appeared. So they were there. And so all of these people are there. He disappears. Thomas comes and he says, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. In fact, he was not convicted. He was not convinced until he saw Jesus himself 8 days later and put his hand in his side and held the hands. And you can see that in John chapter 20 and verse 26. It's interesting to just pause at this point to realize Jesus slowly introduced himself to the followers. He didn't immediately was resurrected, goes up, comes back down, and immediately just appears where all the people are. He didn't do that. He first allowed one person to see him, then two, then the others. He let the story be told by witnesses. It is also very clear that these witnesses were not believed at first. Now there's a whole room full of people, and Thomas didn't believe them either. It's interesting. I think that we can only speculate why it was so difficult for his faithful followers to believe what he had told them was going to happen, because we don't really have all those details. Jesus, going on in the chronology here, Jesus later met with his disciples on a mountain in Galilee, and some were still skeptical. Go to Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee and to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. In verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. This is the 11. That's what it says. These are the apostles. One is dead, Judas Iscariot, so there's only 11 by this time. Matthias had not yet been appointed, and so this is the 11 disciples, the apostles, met him. And it says, but some doubted. Now, all of them but Thomas had seen them at that night. This is another occasion. And some still doubted. Question that I have is, does this level of doubt and skepticism surprise any of us? And my answer is, yeah, it does. But I wasn't there. So I don't really know what was really truly going on, how it was that these men who would have known who he was for this 3.5 years, how did they still have this doubt when they have seen him? One of them, and it doesn't say Thomas at this time doubted, had put his hand into his side and held the nail holes. So we don't know who those were who doubted. But during the time he revealed himself to them, Jesus did many signs in the presence of the disciples. The signs were not even written down. This states right after Thomas touches Jesus. We didn't read this, but right after he appears back 8 days later, and he has Thomas, do you still doubt? I mean, I'm putting my words. I'm not telling what the scripture says, but it's like, if you still have doubts, then you can touch. You know, do this. And then right after this, it says this in John 20 and verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. More things happened that we don't even have recorded. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul, who states that Jesus later appeared to him. We are told about how many there were who saw the eternal resurrected Lord for themselves. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5. And there he was seen of Cephas, or Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above or about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. In other words, they're still alive. Most of these 500 are still alive at the time of the writing. This is what Paul is saying. But some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, who is the brother of Jesus. We could say the half-brother. I call him his brother. And then of all the apostles. So he's telling how many people have actually seen him by this time. And then the next verse actually goes on and it says, and then by me. Paul is saying that he also had seen that Jesus had appeared to him. Jesus also taught his disciples about the kingdom of God during this period of time. It was part of the themes, one of the themes that he tells them. He had told them before he was crucified, but after his resurrection, after his death and burial and resurrection, he's telling them more about it. And he's just part of the theme, part of the knowledge and the information that he is sharing with especially the apostles and with other disciples as well. What an opportunity to have been with Jesus Christ, being seen of him for these 40 days, off and on, seeing him. Later, during the 40-year period, Jesus revealed himself at the Sea of Tiberias. Peter and other of the disciples went fishing, and you know the story, but after working all night, they caught nothing. And then, as they neared the shore, Jesus called to them, and he says, "Children, what have you caught?" I'm putting my words again. And he says, "Well, what have you caught?" And they told them they had not caught anything. And so he tells them where to put the nets so that they will catch fish. John 21 and verse 6. John 21 and verse 6. And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship." Does that apply that apparently they normally fish off the left side? I don't know. I don't know if they had traditions that they did it. I don't know enough about the fishing in Galilee at that time or in these areas. And then he goes on and he says, "And you shall find." They were tired. They didn't know who he was. They didn't recognize him at the time. It was just somebody standing out there. It was after they got the fish that John recognized who he was. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it into the mult because of the multitude of fish. Now, the story tells us there were 153 fish. I don't know what the significance of 153 fish is. I just don't know. John says, "It's the Lord." I mean, he recognized it at that point. John, in his account, also tells us that Jesus was cooking for them fish on the shore. Where did he get the fish? It doesn't tell us. You know, but he was cooking. They hadn't brought the fish in yet, but he was already cooking fish, is what it says. John 21 in verse 14 says that it was the third time Jesus revealed himself to his disciples. Verse 14 says, "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead." So we conclude again, he was not in their presence for a continuous 40-day period of time. That same day, Jesus told Peter to feed his sheep if he loved him. And you know that account, and it's very touching, and sometimes it's very emotional. But this is that same day that he's telling them, if you love me, Peter, if you love me, Peter, if you love me, you'll do this. Later, Jesus preached to the disciples and gave them work to do. So it appears to them again. Go to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." This is what it says in the King James. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," or the end of the age. Amen. And this book ends. Matthew ends there. He told them to go to Jerusalem. And he tells them to go to Jerusalem and wait. And he promised them the Holy Spirit and power. Let's go back to the book of Luke 24. Back to Luke 24. You see this chronology is going back and forth, as it were, throughout the Gospels. It's really what we're doing here. In Luke chapter 24, I'm going to begin in verse 44. We're going to read several of the verses here. Verse 44. "And he said unto them, these are the words which I have spoken to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." So apparently, he told them all of these things also, just like he had told on that Sunday afternoon or Sunday late morning or whenever it was, as he's walking with these two men, kind of chiding them and saying, "Why are you guys all bothered? What's going on?" And they say, "Are you new to Jerusalem? Don't you know what's going on?" And he says, "Tell me." You know, this is that. And he tells them everything. This is what it says. Well, apparently he just told them everything again. Verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding." Oh, now we see. They saw it, but not really. They didn't understand it, because apparently it had been closed. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." And that's the key. "And he said unto them, it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, and the promise of the Father I send to you." We see in other places, John, is the Holy Spirit. "The promise of my Father unto you," or upon you. "But tarry," or wait you, "in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high," or endued with power on high. Verse 50, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." So Jesus blessed them, and he rose up to heaven at Bethany. The city of Bethany is on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. It was the 40th day. This was the 40th day. In Acts chapter 1, this same story is told from another perspective, and you might want to read this account later, because all of this is leading up to Pentecost. Well, the disciples did return to Jerusalem, and they remained at the temple, it's what it says, praising God. And you can read that in Luke 24, verses 52 and 53. So they go up there, and they wait. And they go in the temple, and they're waiting, and they're praising God, because their eyes, their understanding has been opened, and they see the scriptures now, and they've not really seen this before. You know, and it's interesting. This is the 40th day. This is when they got it. It's like the light bulb went on. Oh, have you ever had one of those days? Oh, yeah. You ever had one of those? Well, they had one of those. All of them together. Because he flicks the light on for all of them, their understanding at that time. And so they go to Jerusalem. He says, go to Jerusalem and wait, and you're going to receive the promise from the Father. John says, and it's the Holy Spirit. And so they knew what they were going to receive because they already been told. They didn't, I don't think they got it. And it was probably a lot of it was like, yeah, yeah. And it's like earlier whenever he says, well, all of those people out there, who do they say I am? Well, some say you're this and some say that. And say, but who do you say I am? And Peter says, well, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And he goes, right. But you didn't get this on your own. The Spirit revealed this to you. So there were moments when they got stuff, they got some things, they got some downloads, but they didn't get it day in and day out, day in and day out. It wasn't until he had been around after being resurrected, he was dead in the grave and then resurrected, and it was 40 days. Then they got it. And then they got it. In somewhat of a summary, this is not a complete summation, but in somewhat of a summary, here are some of the things that Jesus did when he revealed himself to the disciples during his 40-day stay on earth following his resurrection. This is not all things that happened on the 40th day. Well, I don't know that because he tells them that he apparently went through all the scriptures, Old Testament scriptures, and told them everything of who he was. And then he turned the light on and then they got it. Maybe he did rehearse all of this on the 40th day, but it doesn't say that. But there are throughout the Gospels after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there are things that are told that he's telling them. And I think on the 40th day they got all of this. But anyway, these are some of the things. He proved he was truly alive by infallible proofs. That's what it tells us. You could prove it. It can be proven. So when somebody says, well, you really can't take the Bible and prove that Jesus Christ was, oh yeah, you can. They don't understand scriptures. They have not had an aha. They have not had the light bulb turned on. That's all it is. I don't think we can criticize people for not having the light turned on any more than we can criticize the disciples, the apostles, either. Another one was, he gave them a close-up perspective on what it is to be like an eternal spirit being. He was resurrected. Eternal spirit being, Son of God. Yes, he was flesh, but he was flesh from the point of view of they saw him, they could touch him, they could handle him, you know, that kind of thing. He promised them power from on high. These are some of the things that he tells them during these 40 days. He gave them work to do. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go into, it's a little thing, I just want you to go into all the world and tell every creature who I am. That's in essence what he told them. You know, earlier he had performed miracles and he would say, now don't go tell anybody. And what did they do? They wouldn't tell people. Sometimes they got in trouble because of it, because they told. Now he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go into all the world and tell everybody that I am risen, that I am who I say that I am. I mean, that's in essence what he told them to do. There's a lot more to that, but that's in essence it. Another point was he prepared them to react to the spirit gifts he was going to give to them. He's telling them during all of this period of time, you're going to be receiving gifts from on high. He's talking about spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he's preparing them that they're going to deal with this. They're going to need to know how to deal with these things. In other words, he prepared them to feed his sheep. He prepared them to live in service to others. Others first. Before self. He told them of scriptures fulfilled. And he told them of the kingdom of God. Now, if you would, please go with me to John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, I'm going to read this again. We read it earlier, but I'll read it again in this part in the sermon. John 20, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. In other words, what we do have. These are written that you, and who would be the you? It would be the reader. It's the ones that God has given our understanding. It's the one that God has given the aha to. It's the one that God has turned the light on to. Because just like the disciples, they had it, they had these words, but they did not understand it until that light was turned on. Their understanding was enlightened. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Yeshua HaMashiach. And it means a lot different when you think about it in the, you know, through the Hebrew. But anyway, that you are the Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. During those 40 days, this is what he got across through what he did tell them. Yes, there are many more things that were told that did happen that we're not told. But John says, but what we do have, what is written, that's enough. That's enough that believing we would have life, meaning eternal life, through his name. Now, with all of this in mind, we are ready to look at why Jesus had to go to heaven and return to the earth much later. This will be covered in a future sermon, God willing. And the Aaronic blessing speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of us with a deeper understanding of what it is to know and to have eternal life offered to us because of Jesus Christ.